This is West Virginia Morning on West Virginia Public Radio. I'm Beth Voorhees. Research by a West Virginia sports economist is shedding new light on the recent string of domestic violence and abuse scandals involving NFL players. Clark Davis has more about the study that looks at the connection between players' arrest records and their salaries.
Brad Humphreys is an associate professor of economics at West Virginia University. Earlier this summer, he co-authored a paper titled, Does Crime Pay? The Effect of Off-Field Behavior on Players' Salaries in the National Football League. He looked at NFL players who were arrested between 2000 and 2009 and compared their salaries to players with clean records.
Those players who were involved in those incidents earned a higher salary than a group of comparison players who were not involved in any such incidents.
10 to 14% more, in fact. Humphreys admits it's only a correlation and not causation. He also admits in some cases the comparison players may not have been of the same caliber as the arrested athletes. Humphreys thinks one reason for the apparent correlation between arrest and higher pay is that the same aggressive qualities that are useful on the field might cause problems off of it.
The behavior that gets you noticed on the football field, it would not be tolerated in other settings. That sort of aggression and that sort of proclivity to violence and that sort of risk-taking would not necessarily be welcome in, say, the classroom or in a business setting.
West Virginia sports and exercise psychology professor Edward Edsel thinks there could be some truth to that.
That behavior seems to be part of the culture, and we see that in military, we see that in athletics, police, fraternities, and things of that nature, where behavior, some institutional behavior seems to be part of the culture. That wouldn't be part of, certainly not acceptable in other parts of the culture.
Edsel says studies are looking at whether some athletes can turn it on and off, meaning can they step off the field and reinstate the morals they might put aside while they're playing.
In a nutshell, or an example would be, obviously, football is a lot of very aggressive behavior. And depending upon your definition, it could be construed in some ways as violence. Are people able to sort of keep it on the field, or does it sort of leak into day-to-day life?
Study author Brad Humphreys thinks the NFL doesn't come down hard enough on players who are arrested. The league's senior vice president for communications, Greg Aiello, declined an interview request, but sent a written statement saying, quote, if an arrest does not lead to charges, there is typically no basis for discipline. Humphreys' research is still in the working paper stage and has not yet been peer-reviewed. But given the ongoing NFL scandals involving domestic violence and child abuse allegations, he believes the study is even more relevant now than before. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:38. Partly cloudy skies today. There's a chance of some sprinkles or drizzle. It'll be cooler with temperatures in the 50s and 60s. Fog overnight with lows in the upper 30s and 40s. Mostly sunny skies Tuesday and Wednesday with temperatures in the 60s and 70s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by WVU Children's Hospital, serving the healthcare needs of all West Virginia's children. Located in Ruby Memorial Hospital, online at wvukids.com.
The first congressional district race has been a fairly quiet one, but more than 6 weeks out from Election Day, it certainly isn't over. Longtime state auditor Glenn Gaynor joined Ashton Mara on last week's edition of Viewpoint to discuss his decision to take on Republican incumbent Congressman David McKinley. Gaynor explains his motivations for running, as well as some of the issues he deems as high priority for Congress.
Auditor Gaynor, let's start with a simple one. Okay. After 21 years of holding state office, why now? Why run for congressional office now?
Well, I think with what's going on in Washington, and yesterday was just another example, you know, Washington is dysfunctional. They seem to be unable to get much of anything done. And I just know that I can provide stronger leadership for the first congressional district and for the people of West Virginia than what we have today. And that's why I'm running. I think it's time that we begin sending people to Washington that are going to put not only put the people first, but actually do their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, Congress, I think the last report I saw, Congress has been in session 38% less time than they were just 4 years ago. It seems like they're on forever vacation. They were on for they were off for 5 weeks. They came back, worked 2 weeks, taking another week off. They're going to come back and work a week and then take another month off. We deserve better than that.
So you've spoken about this in previous interviews about the partisan deadlock, and that got you interested in politics in Washington. But sending a Democrat into a body that's controlled by Republicans, does that break that partisanship?
You know, I think it's all about leadership and one's ability. I think first of all and foremost, you have to be willing to work and work with both sides and set politics aside. At the end of the day, it should be, and what we should have our leaders in Washington, they should be rising above the partisan politics, and they really should be focusing on issues, finding areas where we can agree, and begin passing legislation and moving things forward. And that takes individual leadership from every member of the body. And it's quite clear we're not getting that out of Mr. McKinley, and that's why I'm running. And I know I can do a better job, and I know I can achieve things in Washington.
So I want to focus on some of the issues that you talk about, you've talked about on your campaign. On your campaign website, on the Meet Glenn Gaynor page, it says, quote, "In Congress, Glenn will fight for the middle class families by working to create new jobs, reduce the deficit, protect Medicare and Social Security, and stand up for the West Virginia coal economy." I'm not sure if you've checked out your opponent's page, but Congressman McKinley's campaign website says almost the same exact thing. He says that he'll stand for those same issues. So how? What makes you different than the congressman? How do you differentiate yourself?
Well, and that's one thing, and that's another issue while I'm running. Mr. McKinley, when he's in district, says one thing, but his actions in Washington have always been something different. But when we look at truly creating jobs, we've been in a recession on and off in this country, it seems like forever. Yet Congress has failed to pass a comprehensive job act. And government should not be in the business, and government cannot be a job creator. The only job governments create are government jobs. But government has to create the right environment for the private sector to create jobs. And that's not happening today. It's not happening in Washington. We've talked in this country about tax reform, it seems like, for the last 20 years, and yet we're doing nothing about that. If we really want to get serious about creating jobs in this country, we have to begin with looking at the tax structure. We saw right here in West Virginia when Mylan Pharmaceuticals used the tax inversion loophole in our current tax code to move offshore to, once again, reduce their tax burden. The sad thing is we should not be seeing American corporations moving offshore. We should see corporations wanting to move into America and do business. And so we have to look at our tax structure. A 35% corporate net income tax rate is too high. Quite simply, it's too high. The trouble is large corporations in this country are able to get loopholes and exemptions and are paying a net tax rate of something far, far less than 35%, normally in the neighborhood of 12 to 15%. Unfortunately, the real job creators in this country are our small business folks. They don't have those loopholes and those exemptions. So, you know, they're paying a much higher real net tax rate than the large corporations. So we have to level that playing field and make sure that just because you're a large corporation and you can hire lobbyists and you can go in and you get all these special exemptions and exceptions in the tax law to benefit you, we've got to make sure that playing field is level. And it has to begin with our tax structure. If we're going to create jobs in this country, we have to create an environment that people want to invest and create jobs.
So creating jobs is the first on your list of things you'll do if you're elected to Congress. And I think I'm hearing you say that you would focus on tax reform.
I think tax reform is the first part of it. We also have to look at education and the education system and where we're at there. I see in the first congressional district right now a shortage of people that we need to fill existing jobs in the first congressional district. You know, we have the huge boom in the drilling in the Marcellus and Utica Shale in West Virginia, and we see so many out-of-staters coming in filling so many of those jobs. Not only do we need to have more petroleum engineers and folks that have the higher degrees that are working in the oil and gas fields trained here in West Virginia to take those jobs, but we also should be working with the trade schools and the tech schools to create the graduates to fill the other jobs that are being created right now in the oil and gas industry, all the way down to creating operating engineers and laborers. I mean, we have to be looking at that whole broad sector. So, you know, tax reform is part of it. Education and where we're at in educating and providing the right folks for the workforce to fill the jobs, as well as also working with the technical and community colleges and even with the labor unions and their apprenticeship programs to help us create the educated workforce we need to fill the jobs that our economy is creating here in West Virginia.
State Auditor Glenn Gaynor, thank you so much for joining us today. We've appreciated having you.
Well, thank you. We've really enjoyed it, Ashton. And like I said, we're glad to come back anytime.
Ashton Mara speaking with 1st Congressional District Democratic candidate, State Auditor Glenn Gaynor. To hear more of this conversation, visit our website, wvpublic.org, and follow Viewpoint on Twitter at ViewpointWV. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.